This series that we've been going through is called Love Well. We actually started last week. Technically, we started about 4 weeks ago. And I use the passage in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That is God's love to you, God's love to us, that He so much loves us. And then from then, we sort of progress to how much we should love Him back. And that's where we're at. For about the last 3 weeks, I'm sort of priming us to understand, how do we love God well? How do we love Him well? Because as we mentioned, if I mentioned this before, the premise of this, the next month and a half of this series, is we need to love Him well. Because if we can love Him well, we can love ourselves. Ourselves being He who is in us. Because the Bible says, love your neighbors, yourself. And the prime thing that we must do first and foremost is love God well. If we can love God well, we can love ourselves. If we can love ourselves, we can love our neighbors. And that's key. Now let me say this. Grain of salt. We are to love neighbors well. We are not to convert them well. We're to love them well. We don't have an agenda but love. That's why I'm spending 3 or 4 weeks on we need to learn to love ourselves well, who's within us. That is God. Last week I mentioned, how do we love God well? I mentioned that I used the passage, a new creation. You see, you fellowship with God, and God is the Holy Spirit. You fellowship with God from your spirit. Because your spirit is what's new. Your spirit, the old is gone, the new has come. That is what has been reconciled. I've mentioned this last week 2 or 3 times. That your spirit is not going to be different in 1 million years from now. Your spirit is not going to be different 10 million years from now. You have a reconciled spirit. Do you understand? That's wonderful news. Relationship. Your body, soul. You're working out. That's the tough part. That's the brokenness we go through. That's the hurts, the pains, the sicknesses that we're going through. So how do we get filled with God? How do we get filled within our body and our soul? Because our spirits are already reconciled. That's what I wanted to establish last week. So this week, we're starting to move into, how do we do this? Collectively, comprehensively, if you look at the Bible, there's a lot of passages that really tries to heal your brokenness. Broken hearts, the broken body. When I say this soul, I'm referring to everything encompassing this word when I say heart. Doctors know it. The heart is not the pumping part. We're talking about the emotions. Your soul refers to your brain, your thought process, your will. That part is having difficulty. You're filled in such a manner. Well, let me say this. One of the first things we understand, we have to understand the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to cover it in one day, of course, but just a glimpse from one passage, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. So I wanted to share a little bit of a family story that I have, or an experience, a personal experience. Of course, as you know, I don't have much time with Elise. She's only 2 weeks old, so I'm going to use Tice. And I was at the park this past Monday, and as this video isn't very good, but it's too large or something like that. Jumps a little bit. But with this video, and it's turned sideways. Oh no, it's not. I'm at the park on Monday. We're off on Monday, so I get to the park and I'm thinking, no, there's no one going to be at the park. So I take Tice, you know, relieve my mother-in-law and Emily, sleep. So I'm at the park and I'm thinking, there's no kids. So Tice's like, kids, guys. So what I do is I bring a golf club. So he plays and I play golf. Right, so we get there, and about 5-10 minutes later, this guy comes, and he has a nurse. He has a son. He has 2 sons. One's 1, and 1's 3. So he has to supervise the 1-year-old. 3-year-old's kind of roaming around with Tice. I'm like, great, I get to play more golf. So I'm playing golf, right? And here comes this kid. His name is Xander. Really cool name, Xander. All right, Xander. Xander, well, I'm swinging. He stands right in front of me. I'm like, okay, go over there. And so I'm swinging. And he comes closer. I'm like, okay. So this is where the video comes in. So just kind of watch what happens. That's Xander. That's it. And the reason why I use that, because I remember this commercial from MasterCard, and I don't know if you're familiar with this, but I was going to take it from this. But if you're familiar with golf, like Kui Bong is, a set of golf balls, the Pro V1s, are worth about $50. A set of golf clubs, just that one Golf Cleveland pitching wedge, is worth about $140. Price with your child sharing with another child and acting like he's a coach, he's like this, very good. Absolutely priceless. Priceless. That's what I thought of. I was like, wow, this is absolutely priceless. And I say that to say, and I use this because in Acts chapter 8, what you find is a guy named Simon wanting to buy the Holy Spirit. Philip is and Renee will know this because she goes at a supernatural Bible college. Philip is healing people through the power of God, through the Holy Spirit. Paralyzed and the lame are healed. Philip is doing this. And Simon says, I want to purchase that. He wanted to purchase the Holy Spirit. It's priceless. Priceless. That's a priceless opportunity. Now, I'm never going to have a Monday night again like that. That's priceless. So what we're talking about today is how, let me just turn back one slide. Again, the whole passage of this, we're saying is, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, the passage says, be filled with Spirit. You can't purchase that. It's a twofold thing. One, and this is what the whole objective is for today, for the main objective for understanding this passage today. One, it's an active, you have to do something about that. But it's also passive. That means you have to wait and see and do. It's active and it's passive. So let's read this passage, and I have it up here. I'm sorry. Reading the passage from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine. Oh, is this the right passage? Absolutely, this is the right passage. Ephesians chapter 5. Do not get drunk on wine. Wait a minute, Pastor. You read the wrong passage. No, I did not. You're about to preach on alcohol, aren't you? No, I'm not. This is not about alcohol. I've heard a lot of people use this passage towards, and again, it's always wonderful to work with young kids for the last 16 years. I've heard this passage over and over again, pounded towards kids. Don't drink alcohol. Don't get drunk. That's right. Don't get drunk. This passage is not about alcohol. No, it's not. Listen, look what it says. Let's read the whole passage. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, or wastefulness, if you may. The other translations use wastefulness, dissipation. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Do not get drunk on wine. Sounds like it's about alcohol. That sounds like. Let me say something before we get into the alcohol portion. There's a word up there that's a conjunction. It says up there, instead. Conjunction, if you know anything about English, a conjunction could be something like and or but. It combines the first sentence, the first portion of the sentence, the first clause and the second clause. Makes sense. Combine the first part of the clause to the second part of the clause. Thanks, girls. And as you combine these things, it makes sense. So the wine, the drinking, has to deal with the Spirit. It's not the alcohol portion. It's about contextually. Look at the passage prior to this. Good with me? Verse 6. He's talking about don't be like them. Okay, for them, they are the, verse 6, disobedient. In verse 8, the people of darkness. In verse 9, it talks about righteousness. So we're talking about the unrighteous in verse 9. In verse 15, the unwise. In verse 17, the foolish. He's saying don't be like the worldly people. You see, he said, be filled with the Spirit, but don't be filled with the world. You see what he's saying? He's saying just like alcohol, you can get filled and you can be intoxicated with the worldly views, be intoxicated with the Spirit, amen? That's powerful. It's absolutely powerful. And that instead is very powerful because that is telling you they belong together. Here's an example. If I were to say something simple that doesn't make sense, I would say something like, I'm going to use the word but. I went to the store yesterday. That's the first part. Pause. I went to the store yesterday. But did you know it snowed heavily in Canada today? That makes no sense. I went to the store yesterday, but did you know it snowed heavily in Canada? Going to the store has nothing to do with snow. Going to the store has nothing to do with Canada. But you're combining them with the word but or instead. No, you don't do that. You use that word but that this part makes part with this sense. Both of the clauses make sense. You would say something like, I went to the store yesterday. I did not know. I totally forgot all the groceries in my shopping cart and someone stole it. Oh, you don't know me. See, that's all. I do those things. You know, so don't let me babysit your kids because I might leave them in a cart. Sometimes my mind, you know, the funny thing is that I don't see Chad here. I pick him up for Bible study every week. Name I didn't ask him, but every Friday I pick him up, and there's only like three or four kids doing Bible study, and right before we get out of the car, when we get into church, I tell Chad, make sure I don't forget you. I tell him every week. I say it every week. I don't know why, because I forget. And this morning, Auntie Cecil, she has wonderful spaghetti. She brought me some spaghetti with hot dogs. She came in, I opened the door for her. She opened the door, and she says, this is for you. I said, oh, great. I hope I don't forget it. Since I put my keys in the fridge with there, I forget. But I do those things. And I digress. But the sentence belongs with each other. You understand? Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Or in other words, debauchery means the sensual pleasures that are crazy. Or the sensual pleasures of the world is what it's saying. Don't get intoxicated with the world. Don't be filled with the world. It's going to leave with the sensual craziness of the world. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. Right? Filled with the Spirit. They belong to each other. He's talking about being filled with the Spirit. He's not talking about alcohol, even though alcohol is part of them. Don't be like that. Don't get drunk. Very powerful. So, of course, I like to take the verbs in these things. As I take the verb here, to make drunk. The first part is to make drunk. So, again, here's the whole objective. We're going to go active and passive. What are we to do? I want to fellowship with God. I want to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. My spirit wants to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. How do I do this? Well, your body and soul must do actively and must do passively. Even throughout collectively the Bible, it's all over the place. Actively and passively. I actively do this. Passively, he does this to me. Passively, just kind of, God did. I'm seeing supernatural. I don't know. It just happened. That's how it works. God did it. So we get to the word, the verb to make drunk, the first clause there. Not get drunk. To make drunk. And what this is, and one of the things that impacts very well this, is the Greek word. English language is so hodgepodge of many things. Like, after eat or whatever, it's a mutt. Our English language is like a mutt of all types of languages. But Greek is very pure, very scientific. One of the things it tells you in that verb, it tells you it's an imperative. Imperative means it is a command. He's commanding us to not make drunk. Do not make drunk of your body and your soul. Do not make drunk of such, not just alcohol, but do not be intoxicated of this world. This is active. This is what you are to do. He wants you to do. Now, he loves your spirit. He's not mad at you now. He knows you're going to be influenced by the world, but he's saying, you must go out of your way. You must do your due diligence actively and do your best not to get intoxicated with the world because it's going to lead to a sensual pleasure, debauchery, that's going to make you, you know, woozy or what if you may. Right? Don't do that. easy to say, but we must actively do this. So how do we do this? This is simple stuff. You should do many of these things. We're all guilty of many things. We talked about darkness. Don't be like them. We talked about disobedient. Don't be like them. The unrighteous, verse 9, don't be like them. The unwise, don't be like them. Verse 15, the foolish, verse 17, don't be like them. But we get caught up sometimes. Then we start to hurt like, God, He loves you. Don't you know that your spirit has been reconciled and it's a new creation? It's not going to be any different. You're working out your body and your soul parts. I feel that's what you're trying to understand. So what can we do? Do not get filled. Here's very simple things, of course. You can apply this in our lives. Maybe we could turn off the bad shows a little more. Don't turn off the whole TV all the way. Entertain once in a while, but watch for those bad shows. Just turn those off. That leads to, there's a lot of darkness in some of it. It's fun. No, it's not. Don't you think it's fun? Don't you think some of that darkness, any of the sorcery stuff that goes on, as Leviticus says, don't even mess with that. Don't watch a movie that has that stuff. Turn it off. If a commercial, we mute it. We turn it off. We don't let Ty see it. Do it. You're intoxicating yourself. You're intoxicating your children of such sorcery. Lessen the computer gadgets. Oh, that's tough. I don't even go there. That's just tough. You know, everyone has an iPhone, iPad. iPad. 30 minutes. That's it. 30 minutes in a month. That's all you get. No, it's 30 minutes every 6 months. He gets his share. Do not pay much attention to those at work, guys. There's a lot of unwise verbiage. Foolish talk. Actively, don't be intoxicated with that stuff. That's active. Now, when you remove something actively, you must replace it with something else. You can't be like, well, I'll turn off the TV, and then I'll turn on the computer, or I'll turn off the computer, my iPhone has a computer. You turn it off, and you replace it with something godly. Practice. I'm talking about practice. If you're not laughing, then you don't know who I'm talking about. Basketball players. You have to practice this. Instead of, if you turn off the bad shows and turning the TV, read the Bible together. While dinner, turn off the TV. Just these things. Like I said, meditate and pray as a family before you. Not as a duty, but as an obligation. No. Desire to. Well, Elder Chekhov, let's go pray. Tice tries to do that too. I always use Tice. He's like my little buddy. I love at least two. Pray every night. Sometimes he prays in the corner. Sometimes he prays on my back. He does all kinds of stuff when he prays. I'm not pretty hard on him. Because it's a checkoff. Because I really want to pray with him. Desire to do that. Turn off the radio while you're driving. Listen and pray to God. Sometimes I don't even listen to the radio. Sports. Secular music. It's in the KSBJ. So I just turn it off and I'm just sitting there and I'm talking to God. It's going to go in my head. Meditate upon it. Dwell. He's upon his beauty. One thing, if you were here, meditate upon God. What he wants you to do. One thing he desires. He's asking you to desire, well, I desire my child to be saved. He's saying, me. That's why we're talking about it. You love him well. I'm telling you. You'll see supernatural. Verse 19, look at that. It says, you remove something and you replace it with what? Speak to one another with what? Psalms. Singing. Hymns. songs of the Spirit. Sing and make music from the hearts to the Lord. Let me turn. That's the active. This is what we need to do. And there's many more things in the Bible that tells us to do. We must read the Bible, pray, fellowship with one another. These are key things. These are active things. Remove all these evil things, of course. Passively, different. Take a passive understanding. I should hold this for us. Take it. Can you hold? The second part here is instead be filled with the Spirit. Now, the second verb here is to be filled. Now, if you take the Greek part, that is not an active verb. That is a passive verb. That means He will do it for you. Active is you will do it for Him. Now, if you could stand up, Lester, because I don't want to pretend I'm God. I don't want to act like I'm God. Lester, act like you. So, and he's pretending, as he, just pretend you're drinking it, right? He's drinking this, and what the purpose of this, he's actively doing it. He's drinking the water. Now, just kind of go to KK, just kind of put your cup up, KK. Just go ahead and just come to her. And what I want you to do is just kind of pretend you're pouring it to her. You don't have to pour it. You can pour it. Great. Go ahead. You can actually pour it. That'd be kind of cool. Pouring water, because water flows. Got to, you know, talk about the Spirit. Water, Kulesser is acting like God. He's not God. You are KK. You're being filled with the Spirit, Him Himself. The water, of course, is Him, flowing. You're being filled with water. KK is not going, I'm going to get the water, I'm going to do it myself. God is given to her. God has given it to her. That's passive. That's the wonderful thing about this verb. It's passive. You can't buy it. You can't demand God and say, this is how it's going to do. I've been going to church. I've been sacrificing every Sunday for about 30 years. You better start giving me what I'm seeing over there. I want to see some Holy Spirit healing right now. I'm going to do this. What door is it behind? When I was 5 years old, and I grew up in a Roman Catholic church, and I always wanted to know who Jesus was. 5 years old, I said, I want to see His feet. I said, well, Jesus is back there. I wanted to look at the back of the altar. I wanted to see Jesus. I wanted to find where God was. Where is this God? I'm going to do it. I'm going to actively find Him. It's passive. We are not very good. The good ones are not. We need to allow God to cultivate our body and our soul. We may fellowship with the Spirit. The one-day thing. Like I get your sermon. I got it. Praying in such a way of cultivating their body and soul, they maybe see God in supernatural ways, maybe once or twice. God's timing, folks. Passively. He will fill you. Be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to fill it all right. He will do it. He will grant you certain things. He'll grant you certain understanding. Preaching, He will do it. Teaching, serving, giving, being merciful, that's a gift. Well, I'm merciful because I'm just the way I am. Administration, that's a gift that God's given. Evangelism, that's a gift. Many of us here have such things. Healing, that's a gift. Miracles, private prayer language, tongues, prophetic dreams, these are real things that He's already granted. It's not easy. You always have to prepare your heart, prepare your body, your soul, and say, Lord, help me. Pray. I'm going to turn to this last slide as we see here. And the reason why I picked a dove is because a dove not only represents peace, it represents the Holy Spirit. And the reason why it's on fire is because when you see it in Song of Songs, in 8 verse 6, he says, Lord, I want to place you like a seal upon my heart. A living flame of love. A living flame of love. Holy Spirit, I pray you may just rain upon me. That your living flame of love burn inside of me. Pour it upon me. Rain upon me. So as we look at this passage, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. How powerful is that? Actively, you do your share. A lot. The Bible's huge. Do your share. passively, just wait, my friend. Try so hard. If it takes 2-3 hours to pray, pray another 4 hours. If it takes a week, then pray 6 weeks. If 6 weeks, 2 years, 3 years, 8 years, keep praying. I want it now. Do your share. I promise he will do more. Very powerful. This is hard to cultivate. You experience God in your heart. Form Him in your soul. But you fellowship with Him in your spirit. Fellowship with Him. Let me close on this. I just want you to take time as we pray just to prepare. We don't ask you to stand up because we're regimented. So I used to do this. Alright, I want you guys all to stand up, even DVD. Stand up 20 times in the air. Alright, turn around and massage somebody in the back. And they do that because their body starts to become loose. Their body becomes loose, their brain starts to loosen up a little bit. From there, your spirit starts to understand emotions from your heart. I'm asking you to stand up. I want you to stand up if you can. Just take time to worship the Lord. I'm going to pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you, praise you. And as we stand up, we ask that the blood may flow through our bodies, that we may be uninhibited in our mind, that as we experience you, as we form you within our soul, that we may fellowship with you in our spirits.